Dead, right? On the third day, just as he promised. I'm not throwing papers, I promise. Just as Jesus promised that he would be back. And he's coming back again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And today, I'm not going to have children's church. I asked them not to hold children's church today. I'd like all the kids to stay in the service today. Hear the message that I have for everybody today, that the Lord has laid on my heart. I want them to hear about our risen Savior. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we just thank you so much for this day. And Lord, today is a special day. Today is a special day because Jesus rose again. And we can say he's alive. He is risen. His tomb is empty. And we know, Lord Jesus, that you endured the cross to be our Savior. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would just take over right now. And as we share God's word, that we glean from it, and we learn from it, and we grow from it. And that as we go through the next few minutes, Lord, that you will be honored, and you will be glorified, and your name will be exalted above everything else. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So today, I am going to conclude my Road to Resurrection series. It's been a wonderful series to be walking through. And I saved the best for last. The title of today's sermon is, Jesus Has Risen from the Dead. Don't you think that's the best for last? I think so. You see, folks, I saved the best for last in this Road to Resurrection Sunday because we're talking about Jesus rising from the grave and why we can have hope in the resurrection. You see, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is one of the most important parts of being a Christian. And I wanted to show you why that is here in the next few minutes. Although my main text will be out of Luke's Gospel, I wanted to share a passage with you out of Matthew 27, starting in verse 52. And I'm going to talk about this for a minute. Do you guys remember a few weeks ago I said that Jesus orchestrated his crucifixion? Do you guys remember that? And then last week I said Jesus is king overall, right? You guys remember that? In the last couple weeks I've talked about that a little bit. Well, I want to share this passage with you guys to exemplify Christ, our Savior, and Christ, our King. So Matthew 27, verse 52 says this. And we read it earlier, but I want to reiterate it. The tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection... That's Jesus' resurrection. So after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. And when the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly, this was the Son of God. Nobody ever mentions that passage on Easter out of the 20-plus years I've been going to church, never once has anybody ever mentioned that passage. That there were fallen saints, when I say fallen, they had fallen asleep, they were dead, they were in the tombs, and they rose again after Jesus' resurrection, because Jesus has authority over resurrection, folks. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and do you think that he's the one who raised them from the dead? And the answer is, yes. You see, that just proves that Jesus is Lord of all. And he conquered death. And he not only did he want to conquer his own death, but he helped conquer the death of those fallen saints. Not every single fallen saint was risen from the dead. They didn't name any of them. They didn't name any of them who the saints were. They just said some of the fallen saints, right? And they rose from the dead. And then after, when Jesus ascended, they went with him. He is King of Kings, and he is Lord of Lords, and he controls the resurrection. Matthew 27, verse 52. What a powerful representation of resurrection of our Lord and Savior. So, my main text is going to be out of Luke 23. Sorry, Luke 24. Luke 24. We're past the part of his burial. Although, let me back up. Matthew 27, verse 52. This passage shows that Jesus had power over the resurrection, correct? And we know that he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. We know that he healed the lame. And we can see the power of God in this moment of the resurrection of the saints who prophesied to the people in the holy city. Jesus made a statement with this. He conquered sin by dying. He conquered death by rising from the dead. Amen? My first point, the resurrection of Christ. This is going to be out of Luke 24. I'm going to read the first 10 verses. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, and taking the spices they had prepared, and when they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in the Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women and them who told these things to the apostles. So my first point is, I wanted to point this out, that in the burial of Jesus, they laid him in a tomb and put spices in his body. They say, some say about 70 pounds of spices was laid. They put on Jesus after they took him off the cross, right? And they laid him in the tomb, and they put all these spices on there because they didn't have caskets. They had open tombs, and you know they, that kind of odor and stuff. The spices helps with the decomposition of the body and stuff like that, and helps with the smells. Well. But it was on the day of preparation for the Sabbath. So the women were preparing on the Sabbath day the spices, and the day before Sabbath, the day of preparation. And the women who followed him from Galilee went home and prepared more spices and ointments, and then they rested on the Sabbath day. So let me read this to you. If you go up in verse chapter 23, starting in verse 55, the women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. They wanted to see where Jesus was at. They wanted to see his body because they knew they were going to go back. And then they returned home and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath day, they rested according to the commandment. So they prepared more spices and ointments. And then they rested. You see, Jesus said, "I'm going to raise again on the third day." But for some reason, people didn't get it. They didn't understand that Jesus was going to raise again on the third day. Once they saw him on the cross and they saw that he died, they see, you know, I can imagine that was a very emotional moment. You know, can you imagine Jesus' mother watching her son die a criminal's death and being 100% innocent? Taking on the sin of the world, being the Savior, the Sanctifier, the Healer, and we know He's coming King. They prepared more spices for Jesus' body. But notice this. There was no need for spices and ointments. Luke 24:1. The women were perplexed or completely baffled or puzzled about where Jesus' body was. They went to the tomb and it was empty. It was empty, folks. Jesus had risen from the dead. He's alive. There was no more need for the spices and ointments that they had prepared. Hallelujah. And they were baffled, right? They were baffled because they saw exactly where they laid him. I could just imagine they walked up to the tomb, the mountain, and looked in, and there's no body. You see, they thought the Romans had something to do with stealing his body. They thought the Roman soldiers were able to push that big rock away and take the body out. Or they thought the disciples came and took the body in the night. But oh, an angel of the Lord, two angels of the Lord stood by and said, "What are you doing? Don't you remember that Jesus said, 'I'm raising again on the third day?'" And he did. He did. He is alive. He is alive. They remembered, just as Jesus telling them that he had to die, that he was saving all humanity from the penalty of sin. He had to be buried to have victory over death. And he had to rise again from the grave because Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our Savior. My next point is we have hope in the resurrection. We have hope in the resurrection. So if everybody would turn to their Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to go to 12, starting off in verse 12. We have hope in the resurrection, folks. We have hope because Jesus is alive. We have hope in the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:12 says this. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. And your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. Now watch this. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are all people to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. There is hope in the resurrection. The Apostle Paul was writing to the church in Corinthians, or into Corinth, but he was also writing to us today. We have hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ because we know that the Bible is living and active. We know that according to 2 Timothy 3:16, it was written for correction, for teaching, for rebuking, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, correct? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word. Now, There are some people out there who do not have hope in the resurrection because they do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe in the Easter Bunny. They believe in a pagan holiday, Easter. You see, Resurrection Day is not a pagan holiday. It's about Jesus Christ, our Savior, who resurrected from the dead. The Easter Bunny was about fertility. You see, bunny rabbits can produce rapidly, and the eggs were laid out for the goddess of fertility. Did you guys know that? The Easter Bunny. Chocolate. Candy. Easter egg hunts. All of it. Pagan. Well, Pastor Aaron, you're being mean. Folks, I like to have a good time with my kids. We went and got some candy for Matthew and Chloe and Daniel yesterday. We got them Easter baskets. There's nothing wrong with getting your kids gifts on Easter. There's nothing wrong with having some chocolate on Easter. And there's nothing wrong with biting the head off the bunny rabbit of a chocolate bunny. I do it all the time. Okay? There's nothing wrong with that. But I want you guys to be aware that we have hope in the resurrection because Jesus is alive. And Jesus is a human being. The chocolate bunny is chocolate. There's no life in the chocolate. It might help you de-stress for a few minutes, but maybe not. To some, this weekend is about Jesus, us, right? We believe in Jesus. We have hope. To some, it's a weekend of the Easter Bunny. And to some, it's just an ordinary weekend. They have no hope. But we have hope in the resurrection. We have hope in the resurrection because Paul was telling the Corinthians, if Jesus had not been raised from the dead, then your faith is in vain. Your faith is futile, right? There is a claim that Jesus had risen from the dead. Verse 12, and we know that Jesus is alive. Some people still say to this day, some people to this day still do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus. That's also in verse 12. But if Jesus is still dead, then our preaching is in vain or useless, and so is your faith. So the angel that appeared that looked like Brother John would have been a lie. Would have been a lie. But we know that Jesus is risen from the dead, so therefore it is truth. Amen. If Christ is dead, then our faith is futile, which means pointless, and you are still guilty of all your sins. If Jesus is still dead, and he's still in his tomb, then we are not covered by the blood of Christ. We're not covered by the blood of Christ. We are still found guilty of our sins. Therefore, we will perish. But we have hope in the resurrection, because Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. We can know that our sins are covered by the blood of Christ. Those who have died believing in Christ would perish if Christ is still dead. That's verse 18. If Christ is still dead, believers hope in, then we are to be felt sorry for or pitied. We are people would feel sorry for us if Christ is still dead. But you know what? Christ is risen from the dead. He's alive. He's ascended into heaven. He is sitting at the right hand of God, and he is waiting as a coming king to come and rescue the church from this world. He is coming back. We have to be ready. We have to be fighting. We have to be praying. We have to be sharing the gospel. We have to be believing in the good news. We have to tell others who do not believe in Jesus, who do not believe in the resurrection. Those are the ones we have to feel sorry for. Because we have hope in the resurrection. We have hope because Jesus is alive. Paul makes this statement, and there are eyewitnesses to this statement. But in fact, Jesus is risen from the dead. By a man came death, Adam. Thanks, Adam. But also by man, Jesus, came the resurrection. And Christ, we are made alive. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. When I was watching that video just a few minutes ago that clip came out of The Passion of Christ. That's a very, very long R-rated movie about Jesus suffering. And I guarantee you, as close as they came to making Jesus look like marred human flesh, they probably didn't even come close to what he really looked like in real life. The whips that he took wrapped around his body and tore flesh from him. I just couldn't imagine. Couldn't imagine the suffering that he went through. That cup that he had to bear for us. And we have hope in the resurrection because Jesus took that on himself. Jesus took it on himself. I feel sorry for the people who say to me, I don't believe. I feel sorry for the people who say, the Bible is too confusing, therefore I can't understand it. I feel sorry for the people who tell me that they follow Muhammad or Buddha or the Dalai Lama or Gandhi. Do you know what those guys, do you know where they're at? They're all dead and in their grave. Jesus is alive. His tomb is empty. You go and you see the slab that they laid his body on. They have it in Israel. I would really love to go to the Holy Land sometime. So if you all could take a collection and send me over, we can all go together, you know, and go to the Holy Land. That'd be awesome. But I guarantee you, there's videos actually on YouTube. And you can go to YouTube and look this up. They have videos of people walking through the Holy Land. You can't see. You can see Jesus' tomb, and it's empty. There's no body there. And they also have the slab that he was laid on. They have it, and they have it like in a museum. And there's no body. You go to Muhammad's tomb or his grave, there his bones are. You go to Buddha's grave, there his bones are. You see, other people want to tell me that other religions can get them to heaven. They have no hope in the resurrection. But we have hope in the resurrection because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through me. No one. Not a single person can go to God. I don't care how rich you are, you cannot pay your way into heaven. I don't care how much chocolate Easter bunny rabbits you eat, you cannot eat your way into heaven. We have hope in the resurrection. We have hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that we are covered by his blood. The atonement for our sins. Sanctification. So when somebody comes to Christ, Sister Becky, she says that she's been working on her, she got saved last Easter, rededicated her life last Easter. She's been on the road to sanctification for this whole year. Sanctification is the process of becoming like Christ, more Christ-like. It's a lifelong process, right? And she put her hope in the resurrection. Therefore, she can rejoice because she knows that Jesus is alive. Amen. One day, because we have hope in the resurrection, we will be resurrected. If you guys go to 1 Thessalonians 4:16, For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. I encourage you with these words today, that one day we are going to be taken up and we're going to be raptured. We're going to be resurrected with our Lord and Savior. We will be raised up with Jesus. You see, we have hope in the resurrection, and we have hope, and now we will one day look forward to our own resurrection. Whether you pass away, then you're buried, and then you raise again when Jesus comes back, or you're still here and still alive, and the rapture happens. One day we're going to be resurrected, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:16. So we will be raised with Jesus. God's grace will be shown to us. So if you go back a couple passages, Ephesians 2:6. So Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, right? Ephesians 2:6 says this. I'm going to start in verse 5. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. God's grace will be shown to us in Christ Jesus. God's grace is going to be shown to us in heaven. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, right? And the glory of God is going to shine so bright, and it's going to be so wonderful. There's not going to be any more tears. There's going to be no more sickness, no more diseases, no more dying, no more sorrow. And if people who are, we're going to go see Sister Helen Krause, who's rejoicing on her first Easter or Resurrection Day in heaven with our Lord and Savior. We're going to go see the fallen saints. We're going to get to talk to the Apostle Paul. I would like to talk to the Apostle Paul, and I would like to ask him a few questions. And then I want to go talk to Adam and say, what were you thinking? But then there's no need for that, because God's grace and glory is going to be so much better than any question that you could ever think of. You see, you can plan, right? You can plan. I'm going to ask Jesus this. I'm going to ask God this. But I guarantee you, when we get there, all those things will be gone, because we're going to be so enamored with God's grace and mercy. He won't have to show his justice anymore. He won't have to show his justice anymore, because everything's going to be perfect and harmony and unison. There's not going to be any more wars and rumors of wars. There's not going to be any more bombings. There's not going to be more school shootings. Because God's grace will be shown. I've got one more passage for this point. John 11:25. John 11:25. That is the fourth gospel in the New Testament. And here is Jesus' statement. He's talking to Martha, but he's also talking to all of us. John 11:25 says this. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? And she said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into this world. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Believe in Jesus. Today, if you're here and you've heard the gospel message, if you read these passages, and maybe you're here today and you've never dedicated your life to Christ, you never asked for forgiveness of sins, I have a few passages I'd like to share with you all today. You see, part of our faith, and because I have hope in the resurrection, and I know that Jesus is coming back and he's going to rescue us, the church, his bride. You see, we're the bride of Christ. He's coming back to get us. I have hope in that too. I also have hope in my Christian faith. And I want you to have hope too. I want you to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 3:23. You see, this is part of a great commission. Go and make disciples. This is what you're to share with them. This passage is one of the things that we can share with those around us. We can help people come to this hope, that they can have hope in the resurrection also. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All right? So every single one of us have done bad things from day one. You're born a sinner. You're born into sin. There is nothing you can do because of Adam and Eve. Sin, we had just inherited sin. It's not a good inheritance to have. I would have liked money from Adam and Eve, but instead we got sin. Okay. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace. Justified, just as if I'm found not guilty. Okay? That's what justified means. By his grace, as a gift. So you cannot buy it. You cannot earn it. It is a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by the faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. Because of the cross, because he is risen, because of the blood of Christ, we are atoned. We are justified. We are sanctified. We are healed in our sins. Isaiah 53 says, you know, by his stripes we are healed, right? That is the whole point of Jesus coming and dying and then being rose again on the third day. You see, he had to be risen from the dead to fulfill the prophecies and to fulfill that promise. He had to die, and he had to be rose from the dead. So, understand that we're all sinners. Every single one of us. You're not alone. Welcome to the Sinners Club. You know, we're all there. Every single one of us. And we are justified. That means we can be found not guilty. That is a court mandate, you know, justified. John 10:10. This is the next thing I want you guys to understand. So we're all sinners. Here's another thing. John 10:10 says this. The thief, Satan, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus came to give life. Satan wants to steal your joy. Satan wants to keep you blind. He doesn't want you to understand that you're a sinner. He wants to keep you from coming to Christ, as his, giving your heart to the Lord and Savior. He does not want that to happen. He's going to do everything in his power to stop that from happening. But Jesus came to give life. He is the author of life. He is the giver of life. He is the bread of life. He is our living water. We will never thirst again. John 10:10. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So we have all sinned, and we know that Satan is out there ravaging like a roaring lion, pouncing on those who are not coming to Christ. Romans 5:8 says this. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we must have, now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. Okay, one more time. What does justification mean? One more time. Just as if I am not guilty. So, the gospel today is, we're all sinners. There is a devil, and he is out there trying to keep the sinners from coming to know Jesus. But because of God's grace and because of his goodness, Christ died for us. And therefore, we can be justified by his blood. We can be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? That's a powerful statement after you put everything together, right? That song comes full circle now, doesn't it? Are you washed? Are you renewed? Is your mind renewed? You see, the Alliance believes in Jesus as our Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, and Coming King. The Savior died on the cross. The Sanctifier is becoming holy. It's a lifelong process, and you'll never, ever, ever be fully sanctified until you die. And then you're glorified. Right? Christ died for us out of love. Again, today, if you've heard this message about Jesus' resurrection, and you've heard this gospel message, while this last song is playing, I want you to think about these passages presented. And if you want to put your faith in Jesus, come forward. I will be right here and more than happy to pray with you. And if you want to rededicate your life to Christ, come forward and I'll be more than happy to pray with you. Please do not let this opportunity slip away. Do not listen to the lies of the devil, because Jesus is alive and he is coming back again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Jesus, I just want to say thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the power of the cross. Thank you so much for the power of your presence in this world. Thank you so much for the words like justification and salvation and sanctification. Lord, thank you so much that we have hope in the resurrection. Thank you so much that you told us you're coming again. We believe that full well, that you're coming back as a king. You're not coming again to be born again as a baby. You're coming back as king because you've already conquered death. And Lord, while we tarry, while we wait on you, Lord, would you help us to be bold in sharing the gospel to those around us in Greenville, Ohio, Bradford, and Sonia, and to the likes of the surrounding cities and, you know, Huber Heights, then Kentucky, Indiana, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Montana, and then out into Africa, Egypt, which is in Africa, South America, Germany, France, all these other places, Lord. Help us to be bold and share. You know, when Michelle Gruber goes back over, Lord God, I just pray that, you know, as she shares the gospel with the people at the tea house, Lord, you give her the boldness to be able to speak the truth. The gospel is the truth. People need to hear the truth, but some people can't handle the truth, Lord God. And we pray for the ones who can't handle the truth, that they can come to handle the truth, that the scales will be removed from their eyes, Lord, that they will come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, we put all of our hope and our faith in you. We ask in your name that we be bold in sharing the word that you have told us to go and share, go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the power of the cross. Thank you so much for raising from the dead so that we can have hope. And Lord Jesus, I just pray that everything that was said, it was for your glory and honor, and that we will think about it as we go about the next week. And Lord, I just pray that somebody will have the opportunity to share the gospel with those around them. In Jesus' holy name, I pray. Amen.
The past that held regret over my head is gone. These chains are ashes now that once were rusted on. I was a runaway, now I am finally home. ghost town haunted by yesterday. Until your hand reached out, pulled me out of my grave, into the freedom found only in Jesus' name. I am forgiven, no longer lost. Now I am living in the power of the cross. The Father gave His Son so I could be set free. And now the scales are gone, my eyes can finally see. I'll tell the world of all Jesus has done for me. I am forgiven, no longer lost. Now I am living in the power of the cross. Welcome my joy. Now I am living in the power of the cross. And on that cross, His love held true. The sacrifice He all made new. This life I live in faith, now in Jesus' name. I am forgiven, no longer lost. Now I am living in the power of the cross. Welcome my joy, cause I live, now I believe in the power of the cross. Thank you, oh God, I thank you. Jesus, I thank you. Thank you for the cross. Praise you, oh God, I praise you. Jesus, I praise you. Praise you for the cross.